The draft is, as we can see today, is a very popular thing in the public consumption of sports. And it's certainly the NFL and anything that has to do with the NFL is very popular. But I also want to make sure that everybody understands my appreciation for this organization, Mark Murphy, and first of all, and our coaching staff led by Coach McCarthy. But everybody has, and they do every year, but everybody works so hard to try to help us put it all together. Obviously the personnel people, the football operations people, all the coaching staff, our player personnel, our video people, our equipment, our medical people, our public relations, all those people are directly involved in the actual draft process, whether it be helping in terms of logistics or whether it's arranging for travel for guys that we bring in to visit. It's just an enormous amount of work, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that and praise their efforts, because it seems like most of the attention is directed towards me, and first of all, I'm not very comfortable with that, and secondly, it's not warranted because we have, you know, a whole team full of people that are kind of joining together to put this on. So, but we think we're getting ready. We still have a week or so to go, but we think we're getting close to being about where we need to be. Do you ever get to a point where you're where you really need to be? I don't know. I was thinking about this, and when we played Washington in the playoffs, we were over, obviously, the visiting team, and we were staying downtown, and I went out for a walk, and it turned dark. It wasn't late, but it was 8:30 in January in Washington, D.C., and I'm walking along there. I'm trying to dodge traffic, and, you know, I'm just a country bumpkin, and thinking I'm going to, go for a long walk. But I get out, and there's a grass area, and there's cars going this way and cars going this way, and I'm in this grass area, and I look up, and right there is, like, the Capitol building, and it's under construction, and it's got all the scaffolding all the way around the building, excuse me. And I just stopped there in the middle of it, and I was safe because the cars were on the road, and I was on the grass. But I was, it was like I didn't go out for a particular purpose, but when I got there, I said, this is the reason I went for a walk. And hopefully we'll go through this draft process, and I'll get to a point, and I'll say, this is the reason we did all the work on the draft. So having said that, we'll take questions. No questions? Thank you.
Ted, how often does, especially the first round, play out sort of how you think it might? I mean, I know you guys go through all the scenarios and all that, but how often does it actually play out the way you think it might as you're planning for it?
Oh, parts of it do and parts of it doesn't. Every year. And I don't know if one's any more than the other. There are always surprises. There are always things where you go, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess it'd be a little bit of both.
I guess along those lines, do you guys do your own mock drafts to kind of get a feel of what teams might do along those lines?
No, we don't. We've tried to, but we're so personal with it and so locked into it individually that we make it up, And if it's somebody we really like, you go, oh, yeah, we can get him there, that's fine. So we fool ourselves, and we try to stay away from that.
Ted, what's the emotion like in the war room, if you will, if someone goes that you really want, what's that like amongst you guys after all the work you've put in to try to get that guy?
It's the draft room, we like to refer to it, as opposed to the other. There are gut-wrenching times when you're so close to getting what you think is the perfect player for your team, and then that player might get picked right in front of you or something. But oftentimes when that happens, as it turns out in the long run, you were better off that happening in the first place. So I do a lot of praying, and sometimes the good Lord, I think, looks down on us and helps us out.
You're at 27, Ted. How many players will you have on that horizontal board of best players? Is it a handful? Do you try to narrow it down to just one or two?
It depends, because, when you're picking 27, it's much more difficult to come up with the actual 27 names and be sure that these are the guys that will have been taken and this is the ones that will be left for you. So it gets to be a little bit more mathematically difficult to predict. But you have groups of players and you try to say, okay, this guy and this guy, these guys are pretty close. They play different positions, but they're pretty close, and maybe we'll put them as a couple that might be there, and that sort of thing. It's constant evaluating over the – we've been doing it leading up to this, and we've still got another week to go, so it's constant.
Not a draft question, but what appealed to you about McCray and how do you see him fitting in?
We thought he had some good snaps over there in Denver, and we think he's got a nice body type. He's got some good athletic ability, shows the ability to be an outside backer and with length and that sort of thing.
What do you think of your roster right now as it is going into the draft?
I think it's a good roster. So I feel pretty good about it going in. We got a number of players that we're going to add to our roster. We'll do that through some late free agency. We'll do that through some drafting and do that obviously through some, college free agent type stuff. But there's always opportunity as you go through the summer months.
Ted, with your approach, how do you gauge the need to fill your roster and to address needs for the upcoming season as opposed to building long-term and making sure that you have depth in areas where you need depth long-term?
Well, I mean, we meet every day and talk about personnel and talk about those things, depth and the longevity of your players, where you think that is, and so you're always thinking about it and going over it, and you, quite frankly, you probably never are completely 100% confident.
Ted, for this group of players that's available in this year's draft, when do you start talking about and discussing them? Is it 1 year in advance? Is it even further when they're younger in college? How far ahead can you project what these guys might be when they're finally available?
Oh, I think with some of them, it'd be probably a matter of the major colleges. But you as a football fan, and we sit here and we've just for the last several weeks, so we've had all of our scouts in town and watching tape after tape after tape of mostly the bigger schools, but some of the smaller schools too. But you'll see guys that'll flash at you, and you say, "Oh yeah, that guy is going to be a senior next year or something like that." That's sort of the extent of it. I mean, we're no different than anybody else. We're fans of college football, and if a guy's a really good player, everybody says, "Oh, we got to look at this guy." And we usually fight for saying whose guy it is. It's my guy. No, it's my guy. I had him first. So we work all that out.
Important is that process when you do get all the scouts back together, getting those voices in one house and figuring out, which direction you guys are going to move.
It's good. It's not always comfortable because there are disagreements where people, rightly so, think differently. They're paid to do that. They're encouraged by myself and everybody else to make sure their voices are heard. And sometimes it gets uncomfortable. But we've been together doing it for a long time, and I think that part's starting to be okay. But you still want to have the passion and the energy to stand on the table and say, this is what we need to do, and this is the reason we need to do it.
Players, an inside linebacker, Jake, who played late last year, Sam, who's played some for you. What do you think you have in those guys, and what's the potential there for those guys?
We think it's a pretty good group. Like I say, they've been able to get some experience, and Sam's got experience, got thwarted a little bit with the injury. But we think we got a pretty good group.
How do you juggle the drafting best player available, which I know you like to do, but balancing that with drafting a better position of need?
Well, we try to draft the best player available. I say this every year, and everybody goes, right. We think it's important to stay focused and try to take the best player. I think that from a personal standpoint, just you know, common sense, it makes sense to me that you would want to take the best player because the situation about needs is normally a temporary one. You know, what you think you might need is not necessarily what you're really going to need next week because things are going to change between now and next week. So as long as you're taking really good players and taking the best players you can identify as being the best players available, then you're, in some respects, able to stay away. I mean, stay a little bit in front of the curb. If you get my drift, I mean, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, there. Is there some wiggle room there? Like, you know, say you got.
Yeah, that can be some of both. You can be in a position where you know this solves a problem A on our roster. I think he's also the the best player we feel like is available. You can be in a position if you get lucky where you can address both. But if it comes to one or the other, I'm going to prefer to take the best player available.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering, is there some wiggle room there to say that you got three players ahead of a player that you need position A in, but he's just a bridge, just a fraction below the other guys? Is there some wiggle room there to say, he's not
that I suppose there is. I would never tell you that there is. And if you ask me, I'll say, no, that's not the way it was. But, yeah, I mean, it's not written in stone. And like I said, you don't know. These were four players you were talking about. There was three that won and then the one. You don't know how their careers are going to work out. Somebody get a sprained ankle and have a completely different career than you think he's going to have. But if we can take the best player available in our minds and be honest about it and stay true to form, that's the way we want to try to do it.
We hear so much about the draft board this time of year, but is there another board or at least something that's visible to all, or if not to you, of your roster board and what takes place contractually in next year or the year after and how you marry those two together?
Right, the contractual stuff wouldn't be portrayed in the draft room. We don't need it because
contractual stuff for the guys, your current players, not future
right.
Players.
Right, we wouldn't have that in the draft room. We have that in a separate room in the building, but it's not for because when the drafting actually starts, there's a ton of people in there, and there's a lot of people that don't necessarily need to know. Contracts.
Will be on expiring contracts.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. I got you. I thought you meant like the actual contract. That's weird. Yes, we do. We have a large draft room, and we have several walls on it, And on each of those walls, there's name tags. And sometimes it's name tags of our players, current players, and sometimes it's name tags of our current players and their projected contract extensions, or not extensions, but contract, yeah, that one. There's a wall for all kinds of things. If you can think of it, we have a wall for it in our draft room.
So how does expiring contract, and not to beat around the bush, we all know what's happening with your offensive line after this upcoming season. How does that impact your decisions on draft weekend?
Not a lot. We feel like it's best to stay true to form and try to take the best player available. We're not going to stray off of that. Again, that could be temporary. What you think, like say, you might have a quote-unquote expiring contract, but you also might be in a position where you're hopeful to do a reconstruction.
Off-season workouts going on right now, draft next week, and obviously rookie camps and stuff like that. How exciting is this time of the year for you as the building kind of comes back to life, so to speak?
I don't know if exciting is the right word I would use. I guess it's good. This was the first week that our players were back, and it was certainly is good to see them in the building and moving around and that sort of thing. So that part's been great. The draft thing gets dragged out so long, and that you're kind of ready to do it one way or the other, you know.
When you think about the legwork that goes into the draft, both for you and the other members of the front office, how similar or dissimilar is it to when you first started? In other words, has there been a lot of refinement to the pre-draft process when you think back to your first draft?
There's been some. There's been some. There's a lot more information now. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's probably not so good. There's all kinds of analytical stuff that you need to have someone paying attention to. Maybe not necessarily me, but somebody else paying attention to it. It's more work, it's more comparisons, it's more what about this, what about this, and that sort of thing. And because there's more time, I feel like it kind of evens the playing field, and most teams are probably similar in terms of how they draft now.
Ted, you were talking about your inside linebackers earlier. Mike's been pretty clear that he wants to play to move back to the edge and outside. Do you feel like you've got the roster right now to allow that move back outside, or do you need to do more work there?
Oh, sure, but we're not playing anybody tomorrow. I hope not. Yeah, like I said before when the question came up, I think, you know, there are places in our roster where we're relatively thin when looking at it from a 90-man roster standpoint, but we have quite a number of guys that were on the team before this spring and will be on the team going forward.
To get play back outside, with all the benefits that you've had as an organization with them playing inside linebacker and the difference you've made there, is that important for you to get them back to the edge?
Yeah, I mean, it's coaching decision, but we've had a little bit of fortune with them playing outside backer too.
Two more, please.
What's more difficult and or more fun, drafting up at the top of the round like you've done before? I think you've been as high as fifth, or at the bottom. Is it more challenging at either spot, and more or less enjoyable at either spot?
It's more enjoyable when you pick 32nd, because there's nothing that can be done to you to make your smile go away. And seriously, we can't lose sight of that. I mean, this is about winning, and if you can win, everything's good. The where you pick and that sort of thing is immaterial. But to answer your question, there are challenges of either. I've always been of the opinion that in a perfect world, if we'd pick 32nd, meaning we're world champions, and then in all the other rounds, we somehow have the first pick in that round. If we could do that, that'd be perfect.
But just the draft as its own entity, whether it's more difficult when you're picking high and you know, okay, I'm going to get one of these two players, or at 27 where you may, you know, those guys might all be gone.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy the challenge of either. And the challenge of the one is different than the challenge of the other, obviously.
Jared Cook, quick. In what ways do you think he can help this offense, and what kind of entice you to bring him in?
Well, he's very athletic, great catch radius, big target. We think he'll add some stuff to us athletically on the offensive side of the ball.
Started about how populous this has become. We've seen the broadcasting of the combine and all that numbers testing that goes on. But with the amount of tape that is available to you guys now and the way you can scout game tape and stuff like that, how much did immeasurables factor into your final decision, and at what point, or how much weight, I guess, do you put in just sheer numbers of a 40 and a shuttle and a long jump and a high jump?
We try to pay attention to all of it. Sometimes you'll be paying attention to all of it and you realize that in this particular case, with this particular player, it doesn't matter how fast he ran a 20-yard dash or a 20-yard shuttle or a 40-yard dash. It matters that he's a good player and he's smart and he's this and he's that and he's going to help our team win. That's when you kind of put aside the numbers a little bit. But at the same time, we never get to a position where we completely discount that. We would have that discussion again and again, and even before we picked on draft day, if we got to a point like the scenario that I'm talking about, then we would have a little conversation about, okay, so the 40 doesn't matter. Why is it that the guy ran such a slow 40 anyway? We'd still have that conversation.